Welcome to Day Zero Update for February 22nd, 2026. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
And I'm Brandon Perkins.
Yeah, two-man crew this week, though we are not short on stories.
Nope.
Everybody got people mad.
Mm-hmm.
Especially all the console hardware makers.
Yep.
For a variety of reasons. Some more serious than others, but not many of them come out of this looking super great this week. We also had, I think, two indie showcases happen this week, so there were a ton of games getting announced or getting dates and such, so we got a few of those stories here.
Mm-hmm.
Along with a bunch of other weird industry news, some involving TikTok, others involving studios shutting down, and maybe why Valve is not going to have an easy time with their hardware in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get to all that, we'll talk about what we've been playing, and I'll kick it off here. I've been playing a couple of games I got out of this bundle from, I think, Fanatical. It was like the Safe in Our World bundle that had a bunch of games in it for like $18.
Mm-hmm.
One of them I played was Easy Delivery Company, a delivery game that has very kind of cozy vibes to it.
Oh, yeah.
But it takes place in a town that is very, let's say, Silent Hill-esque in a sense, because it is sort of in the middle of a snowstorm, a lot of fog and, you know, flurries going around, as well as roads that are covered in snow. Mm-hmm. And so you're kind of delivering things for people and hoping that nothing unfortunate happens. I played a few hours of this so far, and so far, the only like spooky thing that happened is that I was parking to go into a building, and when I came back out, the truck did a donut while I wasn't in it. And I was like, is that a bug or is that a spooky thing? I couldn't figure it out. But that was kind of the weirdest thing. But along the way, you kind of are earning money for the jobs you're taking on, going to different parts of the first city, as well as a few surrounding cities, that you can spend on things like energy drinks and coffee and some of these other things, because you have both your truck's fuel meter as well as a personal fuel meter, so you kind of need to keep yourself fueled up with some form of caffeine or energy drink or whatever. And the interesting thing is, like, when you get out of the truck, you just have, like, you can see, like, the screen corners, like, kind of coming in, like, freezing up, in a sense, and that's sort of the frigid temps kind of affecting you, which I had one time that I froze to death, and then it had me go through some weird other area that I was trying to, like, wander around and get out. That eventually got me back to a respawn, which was interesting. But that's the closest I've gotten to dying in this. So yeah, it's and the map is kind of interesting in that it doesn't show you on the map. You're kind of having to look at the map and kind of note sort of road shapes and such that you're seeing, and like, okay, I must be over here, kind of thing. And I've eventually gotten to the point where I've purchased a pot that you can use for making coffee, I guess, as well as snow tires for my truck so that I can get over some of these snowy areas, because you get to the second town and there's kind of a main quest line going. Because I would say the style of the characters and such is very Animal Crossing-esque. Especially their talking is that kind of you know, kind of thing. And you meet one guy who's just hanging out near a fire next to a building, and you're like, what's up with this dude? And he's playing like an ocarina or something, a very kind of Ocarina of Time kind of style ocarina. And so you're talking to him, and he's like, oh, hey, what's up? Can you get me like an energy drink? Can you go down to where that's at and buy him one and bring it back? And he takes it, but then gives it back to you. Like, you can keep this visit me in my cabin back in this town, and I will make some coffee for you and hang out. Kind of shows you the the ability to make coffee and that kind of stuff. And coffee kind of fills up your fuel meter, your personal fuel meter, more than the energy drink does, and it lasts for longer.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of encouraged to keep doing that. But yeah, there's some of the shops have other things to buy that could be interesting if you want to, I assume, eventually figure out more things that you can do with them. And I've seen, I think from screenshots on the Steam page or whatever, that there might be an actual new truck that you can get. But yeah, you're basically just driving a pickup truck. You're throwing like the stuff in the back. And the stuff can kind of fall out of the back, but it never actually leaves. So I was like delivering like a pile of boxes, and one of them fell out, and I was like, oh no, do I gotta go pick it up? And I couldn't find it. And I realized when I got to the place to deliver it, it was like, oh, it's all there anyway. No matter what it looks like, but you do kind of see stuff shifting around a bit in the back of the truck. But yeah, that's a fun game. Got some good vibes to it, and just spooky enough to be interesting. And yeah, one of the places you go to, it has like a bunch of wood that has blocked this tunnel.
Yeah.
So you literally go and buy a lighter, you set it all on fire, you just sit in your truck and watch it burn and then disappear once it's done burning. And that was like a fun, satisfying thing to do. But yeah, that's been a fun time. I think that's only on Steam right now. The other game I played was called Refresh. That's Refresh. It's a small 3D platformer from a team that has released a new game since then. I think it's like maybe a handful of people worked on this game. The premise is generally that you are this robot that lives in this town area that has suffered through a big storm, and you decide to, with encouragement from your buddy, to go and help people like gather materials to rebuild their houses or fix their business or whatever they need fixing.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, it's kind of a collectathon 3D platformer, where you are just collecting these materials. And you also find these like solar cells that you gain that give you an extra action so that you can do, you know, a double jump pretty early. But you also have like a dash move that can get you across the distance pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think by the end of the game, when I beat it, I had probably either 8 or 9 of those stacked up. They do like in a Zelda fashion. They have one that's split up into 4 chunks that you gotta go find. Otherwise everything else is just whole to add to it. But, by the end I had all the achievements and had beaten the game in about like 1 hour 20, not a super long game. It was pretty fun for the time that it's less. And it got me looking at the speed run list for it. And, people were able to beat it in like 20 minutes or so. I was like, okay, that sounds pretty reasonable, especially if you know the exact amount of materials you need of each kind for that, and sort of the proper pathing and all that. And they have like a guide for that that's like, oh, you go do all this other stuff first and then you come back and do this thing because it takes longer for like one of the earliest missions you get. But yeah, you kind of go through this town and then go across the river on the one side, which involves you jumping on a bunch of big rock platforms to get across. You go over there in this like forest area to collect a bunch of stuff, and then you go back and go across the other side, across a different river to this like valley kind of area that has a bunch of these wind turbines hanging around it, which act as also platforms of a sense. And up there, there's also a guy that's just like, hey, I've got some challenges if you want. They're like these little speedrun challenges to get through these like 13 hoops or whatever it is, using your dashes and all that. I beat the first 2 times that it gave me, which were tough and, you know, challenging, but the From there, I think you get one that is like, oh, you only have three actions you can do. You have to land on the ground to refill those and then keep going. Which I think I got pretty close to the time that was needed there, but just ended up not getting it done. I was just like, that's fine. There's no achievement for that. There's no real reason to do it unless you really want to. But otherwise, that was a fun time. Again, that's not super long. If you want to just buy it on your own, it's like a $5 game. It's not a super costly game. But works out pretty well for what it is. And then, yeah, I've been playing some demos. I played the demo for Blossom, the Seed of Life. That's out, I think, March 9th on Steam. It is kind of a spin on the formula of Astroneer, in the sense that you are this robot that is trying to terraform this dead planet. And you have this backpack that shows, the battery you have, battery charge you have on it, as well as it has like slots on the sides for collecting materials and storing them until you need them. Very similar to Astroneer's thing. It's designed a bit differently, but it's similar. It doesn't have any other systems to it, like Astroneer's, where you had a bunch of like crafting stuff you could do on it as well. Here it's just a pure storage thing. But you're on this like Mars-like planet. It's very, very red, like planet that has, big fog and dust storm kind of stuff going on. But initially you're going through around your like little base station that you're in, running around to gather materials to build things that it's, the tutorial's kind of listing for you to do. Up to the point that you kind of start building out a printer of sorts, similar to, Astroneer. And similar to Astroneer, you have to plug those into your station through outlets, kind of thing, and you have to power up the outlets and make sure that's all going, so everything is powered up properly. Which by that point, you're going to be making a fuel generator that then runs off of these fuel rods you make that are pretty easy to get. So you can start, generating your own fuel, because the battery you have in the base is not infinite. So you do have like a finite amount of time to get your shit together before you are out of battery juice, and then we'll have to start a new run. And yeah, from there you kind of start just building out things, and at the point you start building a drill or two, as it kind of suggests, you're producing carbon dioxide that starts clearing out this atmosphere, and that starts building out this whole progression as you unlock some more of the UI stuff. You can see the terraforming overlay that shows you like, oh, you're building up like atmospheric pressure that's clearing up the fog and the dust and all that. And where I am at, the demo goes pretty far from what I've seen. You build this like terraform analyzer that essentially has like a battle pass style interface for this. So as you reach certain milestones in the atmospheric pressure number, it unlocks more blueprints for things. And the nice thing is that you get these like blueprints as like cards that you just put into the printer, and it adds those to your list of things that you can build. And I enjoyed this demo enough when I was recording the video that I noticed that I got a code for it from the devs. So I was like, all right, I'll check this out, because I started over again because I was like, kind of know the general flow and how things work. Because early on it can be rough to figure out what's going on. The tutorials aren't amazing, and the UI is not great at like helping you get up to speed pretty quickly, especially as you're, running low on battery. So it's one of those games where you probably do want to start over at a certain point, like be more efficient in your early part of the game. That kind of helps you out later on as you're figuring out more of what's going on. And so yeah, I got to the point where I had a rover that I could drive around. Though before that, you get the wagons, which are things that can hang out behind the rover. But also, if you just attach them to yourself, they will follow you around. And from there, you can install modules on them. One like a mining module that lets you mine the harder substances that you can't do on your own, as well as a storage module. What else? There's a battery thing that's so that you stay charged until it runs out. And there's like a scanner module that if you're like, oh, I need, silver, you can have it just set to silver's frequency, and it'll show you that on the compass at the top of the screen, so you can know where things are at generally. And that's the point where you can start exploring more outside of the immediate area you've been in, and you start finding out, finding a lot of these remnants of prior like attempts for, I assume, humanity to colonize this planet. You see like a big satellite dish that's been, it's falling apart, and radio station, and big ship that's still like crashed into the planet or something. Remnants of, habitats and all this kind of stuff. And some of them you can get into early on, and some you can't. So where I'm at is I've done like the first chunk of quest stuff. Have essentially taken the base station and fired back up into the into orbit and got up into the regular space station. That's kind of where I'm at on this. Yeah, I've been enjoying it a lot. It's definitely rough around the edges in a lot of things. And I don't know what I'm playing, supposedly the final build. But maybe they'll make some changes before then. But I don't think that there's going to be anything major from what I've seen so far. But luckily they basically said like there's no embargo on talking about it, other than just, a final review kind of thing for the day that they gave in there for the embargo. Otherwise I can talk about the game as is. And what I've played so far, I believe, is all the demo, as in it's just an earlier version of it. It's like 0.8 oh something, supposedly that late into the development. I haven't been checking that out if you're into Astroneer type stuff, but this is less about digging into or carving out the planet itself, and more just going around and collecting materials to build out things and getting like a fun train of, rover and some of the wagon stuff going behind it to explore and find things around. Because you're also getting like data logs that are essentially like building out a story of what happened, and that's neat to see. Though I have not gotten, they've been pretty scattered over the chapters they have in there, so it's kind of an incomplete thing right now. I'm looking forward to playing some more of that. Let's see. I played the demo for a game called Titanium Court. That's the dev AB Thompson put out a pretty fun reveal trailer the other day that is essentially like a big song, weird silly song that is like, hey, don't play our game. Nobody, nobody should want to play this. And it just does the opposite effect of making you really want to see what this weird thing is. And the best way to describe it from playing the demos that is it's kind of a match three strategy game. The way it starts up is it has like somebody introducing what's going on here as like an unfinished play has been being performed, and it's which I it suggests that it's kind of a roguelite thing, but I've not, had a bad I've not ended my run that I've played so far. But they suggest like it's not been finished. The writing has not been finished, nor do the actors know where it's going to go. So it's kind of a competition between who will get to the end of the script first. And so the it jumps you into this world where this is all kind of presented on like a stage of sorts, but a very weird looking kind of thing is with like a match three thing going behind it. It's like land tiles, And so you go through some story stuff as you're talking to people, figuring out kind of what's going on, and then you go back into the match three stuff, and that is kind of building up materials as you're matching, you know, three or four or five or whatever of different land tiles to get, you know, gold and food and wood and water and whatever. And then once you're done with that, you have a meter that's empties out as you make more matches. Then use those materials to create troops, either soldiers or farmers, that then go and explore what is remaining of the map around your castle that is called the Titanium Court, because it survives anything that's going on here. And so, like, soldiers from castles that have been that have survived whatever you've been doing, start exploring around this little map, and your guys go and try to fight whatever they're able to get to. And things like water they can't traverse, so they have to go around through different areas, and like hills slow them down, and forests are easier to get through, and all that kind of stuff. And they try to kill troops and whatnot, and then collect some materials through that then kind of keep going back. And you go back to the match three thing, maybe get some story between that. And so, yeah, you kind of do all this, and then you realize the queen that they've been waiting to come back is actually you, the player. And so they kind of have you lead them on for whatever's going on. So yeah, there's a little bit of like D&D kind of like DM kind of stuff going on here. But some neat like match three stuff and strategy stuff going on that is a pretty wild mix of stuff, as well as there's a pretty silly kind of irreverent tone to a lot of it. Especially you notice that in the strategy part of it, because when enemies kill, or when your troops kill enemies, like you'll just get random icons pop up, like a baseball player hitting a baseball or a basketball sinking into a net. What else did I see? There's a bunch of weird stuff. The press kit has like just those different icons that show up, and it's like, okay, this is a weird game. So I'm curious to see more of it. But from the demo, I basically got to the sign that you're trying to get to which it's a dead end sign, and the people there are like, well, this might just be a sign about, you know, the finality of life, that you're all going to reach an end where you die. Like, and your character's like, no, this just means you've reached the end of this area and you need to find another path. Like, oh, that kind of stuff. So it's got a fun tone to it. Developer is AB Thompson, along with a few other people, from what the credits is. Here on the main screen, you hit credits, where it shows at the top of the screen Titanium Court by AB Thompson. The by AB Thompson just keeps changing into different credits until it's like, then being played by you. And it just keeps going and then circles back around. It's got some funny bits in there. But yeah, that was a fun demo to check out. That's supposed to be out sometime this year. There's no date on that one yet. But that's a fun, silly thing. Then I played Akatori, a game that I got an email about that the title gives us some lofty goals of comparing it to Hollow Knight meets Nine Souls. Which is like, all right, if you're going all in on mentioning this comparison, I was like, I'm gonna check this out. And they describe it as like a martial arts, you know, Metroid-y kind of game, with a really good 2.5D art style to it, and it looks really nice. You use a bow staff as your main weapon, and the first kind of thing that showed me this demo is going to be a bit unusual is that it mentions on the main screen that it's sort of a condensed demo, so like you're going to get things presented to you quicker than they do in the actual game. And so I started playing it, you know, you're at the very beginning of the game, sort of getting basic tutorial stuff for how to jump and do this other platformy stuff. And then you kind of reach a point where there's, you know, they're mentioning like some bad guys have ransacked the village, your hometown. And as you kind of approach, it kind of warps you to a different area. Where you kind of get a bit of Souls elements to it, where you have these like bonfire equivalents that you save at. They don't respawn enemies, I don't think. But that's because enemies are respawning constantly. Not maybe as ridiculously as they do in like Castlevania or Ninja Gaiden, but not that much different. So I would like go and clear out enemies, and if I'm going like up one side and coming down the other, I can see where I was at, that those enemies had already respawned by that point. So there's not really any Souls-like kind of data of you've killed these enemies, they're dead until you, you know, refill your health at a bonfire kind of thing. And the weird thing playing this is that the controls felt pretty unresponsive. So much so that I kept unplugging my controller and plugging it back in over and over to see if that was the issue, and I don't think it was, because I played, you know, all these other demos I mentioned here with this controller plugged in the entire time. Those all worked fine. I think this game just maybe has some latency issues or something, because I would hit the like square button on my controller to do an attack and it didn't activate. I kept hitting it and then eventually attacked. I unplugged and replugged it in. It seemed like it improved a little bit, but it still never felt comfortable in the way it was coming out. And so the video I did of this just has me dying a bunch, because one, the enemies are pretty tough to deal with. And the platforming isn't good enough to allow you to kind of be very efficient with the way you're jumping up and doing attacks. There are enemies that seem to be timed perfectly to attack you as you're jumping up. Either they're shooting or they're throwing out attacks or whatever. But I take damage that I really didn't like taking, that felt, you know, I guess wasn't the way the game was supposed to be. And so I ended up having a lot of trouble with that. Even as I was starting to get more comfortable with things, it still never felt great in the way that it was controlling. Luckily, they don't have a date for this yet. And I feel like there's this kind of stuff is like things you would be tuning for later in development. It is supposed to be out later this year. But yeah, like the regaining of your health seems like they intend for you to be using your currency at these merchants that just give you potions. There's like potion for making you stronger for a bit, replenishing like one chunk of health, or replenishing all of it. Those are all D-pad things, so you're using the stick the whole time. And I feel like that also added to it. Typically don't have that much trouble with like using sticks in 2D games like this, but this one particularly just did not feel great. And it also just has some weird control things. You run into these like bamboo poles that are sticking in the ground, and it very much looks like it can flick you, but I can never figure out the timing on that to get it working right. And I was like, is this an actual thing? And I looked at the Steam page, and there's literally like in the description of the game, there's a GIF showing some gameplay, and one of them is you flicking your character off of this thing across the gap. So I'm like, this seems to work, but I can never get it in the point where it flick me, you know, upward into the air. At least on an upward trajectory. It would always be like slamming me into the ground kind of thing. But that never felt like it was easy to do. But the control issues seem to be a constant. And yeah, there's like stuff like that. I got to the boss, which is sort of at least starts with like a sequence where you're swimming through water, avoiding these like ivy or something in the water, like golden ivy that causes damage to you. and I could never get past the sequence because it just did not control very well. So it was just kind of a frustrating experience because something looked really nice and had a nice premise to it, and I wanted to enjoy it, but it just seemed like the controls on it just did not work well with me. So that was kind of a disappointing demo to check out. Because especially it's like there are killer games in this genre all over the place. You can't put out a game that does not feel good and expect to stand up to any of this. You're just going to get rolled over by Silk Song and all that. Silk Song and Mio and all these other games that have been coming out. So there's that. And then the last one I played is Replaced, which was supposed to be out in March. And then before this demo came out, they delayed it again to April 14th, I think it is. So game that's been delayed constantly got delayed once more as right before launch. So, but this is a game's coming to Xbox and PC that is also going to be on Game Pass. And the demo is really good. It is kind of a 2.5D action platformer. Maybe in a mix of the platforming of an Inside and an Uncharted kind of mixed together. And then some combat bits that are reminiscent of the Batman Arkham stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as complex as the Batman Arkham stuff, at least for what they showed here.
Mm-hmm.
The combat there is basically just hitting dudes. They'll get like a little icon above them as they're about to attack you, and you dodge out of the way to avoid it. And as you're attacking, you're filling up a meter that then allows you to use your gun to form a finisher on them. They don't have to be like stunned for that. You just hit the R2 to do a finisher on them. It can be also be just a gunshot at a enemy from a distance and just kills them. So, and that meter does not carry over to the next fight, so you're encouraged to just keep doing that over and over again. And the rest of the platforming stuff is all pretty basic stuff of, you know, walking left or right, jumping up onto walls to pull yourself over, occasionally running into, you know, dumpsters or whatever that you have to push up against the wall. You climb up. The Uncharted stuff shows up when you get to some areas where you start doing some swingy stuff off of, you know, lights or whatever is hanging off of buildings. You get some of that going on. And yeah, there's a little bit of stealth that I saw. This seems to be like a cyberpunk kind of world. After a nuclear thing has happened and you're outside of this corporate owned city called Phoenix City. Like Phoenix City, something like that. You're outside of the city limits, and you're being hunted by these security guys. And so the stealth stuff is them on the train track in the background with the big searchlight. And so you're kind of hiding behind cover as you walk between, trying to do it at the right time so you're not getting caught out in the light, which is not too hard. The demo ends with some Good Samaritan driving on the tracks with their big vehicle and just destroys the bad guy's thing they were using. So yeah, it kind of shows up and like playing rock music out of there. It's almost like a Camaro kind of thing, the retrofitted for a train track kind of thing. So you're walking up closer and you start hearing like rock music coming out, and I immediately went and muted the music, so I was like, I don't know if this is licensed or not. Apparently the music in Blossom was when I put up the video, so I decided not to mess with it here. But yeah, it ends with you running to this guy who's like, oh hey, I can help you out with this, and you kind of get in the car and go off. I assume you're going to go to the next area. That's where the demo ends, like a good 20 minute chunk. But it looks really good for a 2.5D game. Has a lot of good arts and lighting design and all this going on here. And yeah, that's probably the one here that has me the most excited. It's really polished and really good looking. You do some scanning stuff for extra lore things. I don't know if that's gonna lead to like a collectible thing or not, but you're definitely sort of somebody who I think has had an AI get into your body or your mind. I forget the whole premise is, but it's either you're in a robot body with your human mind in an AI thing, or vice versa, but you're trying to get the AI out of your mind. So got some of that stuff going on. So those were the demos I checked out. The only good stuff, Akatori is like the most disappointing thing here so far, but I got some more demos I'll be doing videos for over the next few days, so I'll have some more to talk about next week. But that's been pretty much what I've been doing. How about you, Brandon?
Well, I'm still going through Donkey Kong Bonanza. I'm still doing the post-game stuff. The thing about the post-game stuff is that if you're trying to do it, it's a lot more difficult than the regular, campaign stuff. Essentially, what you're doing is that you're going back through all the layers that you've gone through previously. And you're talking to all of the elders you've come about, and you're doing what they call a bonanza rehearsal, because the whole sort of shtick is that Pauline comes back. She's like, she tells you, I got a show in like 3 weeks up top. I need a new song. I need inspiration. Can we go around and talk to folks? Maybe I'll get something. It'll help. And you're going to each elder, and you're doing this. Now, the thing is, in order to start each one of these bananas or rehearsals, you have to have a certain number of bananas in your inventory, and they're pretty high. It goes to like 100 bananas, to 200, then 300, 400, 500, finally 600, which is the top one for the last elder. And keep in mind, there's only about like 777 like named bananas that you can get in the game. There's a bunch of others that you can get through other means, like through challenges or even through the banana rehears bonanza rehearsals themselves, because there's usually like at least 8 to 10 or some variety of that bananas that you get access to if you're hunting for them. But right now I crossed the road to like 450 last night, meaning I've still got another 50 to go before I get to the fifth and penultimate elder to deal with, and then we'll see what goes on from there. Also, funny enough, I started running into Cranky Kong. So once again, the whole it's very much apparent that Nintendo has just sort of thrown their arms up in the air and is like, okay, yeah, screw it. We're not even trying to do a make have any of this crap make sense anymore. But yeah, he's been on like his Rambi, and he just sort of shows up in various places in the various layers, and if you find him, he'll give you a banana after he basically calls you a loser. And if you've played the Donkey Kong Country games, you know how he is. He's a complete and total irredeemable prick. But yeah, so I'm still playing that, and also realizing like how many of those things I actually missed, because there is a bunch of bananas in each layer that are very easy to overlook if you're not actively hunting for them. And but yeah, I've been playing that, and I'm also still doing Splatoon 3. That's more or less become a routine now. I play about half an hour of Splatoon 3 every night. That game has helped me out a lot for all the crap I've had to go through over the last couple months. And that combined with being able to play a bunch of the old games on the Nintendo Classics Archive that you can get online, that's also helped a bunch. But I'm definitely getting a lot better at it, and my sort of grade is slowly going up. I'm currently at like B plus. I want to get into A minus before next week. And basically, to do that, you have to do what they call the Anarchy Battles, which are essentially Unlike the regular like turf war type stuff, essentially these are the things like where like there's one that's called tower control, where you've got like this floating sort of platform that you have to be on top of and sort of guide and sort of like ride it to like these various checkpoints and eventually to the other side of the map before you win. Generally not easy because every time it happens, like the every person you're playing against, like the entire opposite team basically has a single target at that point, and can be hard to deal with. Then there's another one that's called Splat Zone, where you have like this huge like geometric area that you have to try and keep covered in your team's ink for longer than the opposite can do it, and it is not easy because the opposition is constantly trying to destroy you. And then there's the what they call the Rainmaker, and basically it involves you taking this like golden fish idol and getting it to like these other checkpoints on the other side of the map, and eventually getting it to the end to do it. And you know, that one also, all of these are difficult to a certain extent, but they're fairly easy to understand. And if you do them enough times, you can get pretty good, get the hang of them. And then there's Clam Blitz, which I have talked about numerous times and how much I hate it because the whole game, the whole idea is you've got all these clams that are like, you know, scattered about. You need to get eight of them first in order to like, open up the basket on the other side of the you know where your team is in order to even score in the first place. And like every one of those because essentially what happens is the clams basically turn into like a giant football and you throw it in there and it's worth like 20 points, and then once it's temporarily open you can start throwing a bunch of other clams in it. I hate this game because it is damn near impossible to play with online because I don't know if it's just because I always get a shitty team, but nobody can knows how to coordinate on that damn thing. Even though it's like, oh, I've got the thing now. Maybe it would be a good idea for everybody to like drop in and try and help the guy get there. Nope, it's basically every man for himself, and you get slaughtered almost immediately. I have only managed to be on a team that won one game of Clam Blitz, and that was purely by luck. But yeah, so I'm still playing that and, you know, slowly going up in level and stuff, and really love it. Good stuff. But yeah, that's what I've been playing.
All right, so yeah, let's get to some news. And first up, we start with a send-off. We had a legendary Sega console designer, Hideki Sato, has passed away. He had a major role in making all of Sega's consoles, including the Dreamcast, the Saturn, the Mega Drive, and all that. He started working at Sega in the early 70s. Which then they were known as Service Games. Worked on, vending machines and such in like Okinawa, U.S. military bases. And Service Games, they would repair, machines and pinball and stuff like that until they started making their own stuff there.
Because basically, like all of the pretty much all of like the major game publishers and developers in Japan basically all started out doing something else before they hit on games. And
Yeah.
Sega is one of them.
Yeah, they were founded by American. But eventually, worked with Japanese people, and Japanese people ended up taking over, taking control of the company at a certain point. But yeah, this guy's had been there for a long time, passed away at 77. Still been a big part of the Sega's history. And so yeah, that is a shame. He was the president of Sega from 2001 to 2003, so basically in the reconstruction kind of part of Sega from a console maker to a third-party publisher, kind of the guy that bridged that gap until they kind of were fully a third-party publisher of games. And yeah, made arcade games, consoles, all that kind of stuff. So It was a big part of gaming history, and fortunately, he had to pass away.
Yep.
There you go.
Sucks, but we all have our day with the Reaper.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Now let's get to Nintendo. They released a out of nowhere, they announced they had a Switch 2 upgrade for Xenoblade Chronicles X Definitive Edition. That is $5. Basically just improves the resolution and frame rate. So that's when it's docked, supports a 4K resolution. With a smoother frame rate that can go up to 60 FPS, as they say, which, yeah, is not a huge surprise. They don't commit to a locked 60 for that because all the Xenoblade Chronicles games are pretty intensive in their visuals because they're essentially big open areas with a variety of enemies that spawn in and out of view, sort of like an MMO of sorts. And this one particularly has like a bigger environment than most of the other ones tend to, especially once you get to the point you have like this big mech that kind of turns into a big vehicle to help you get around more efficiently. So yeah, this one came out as a $5 upgrade. They're gonna have a physical version for the Switch 2, $65 coming out in a couple of months. But yeah, people are not happy about the price for what it seems like it's getting. And especially because from what it seems like people are playing only in handheld, the visual improvement is not that good for the price. So there's some criticism of that stuff. I've not had a chance to launch it yet. I paid the $5, but I only played docked, so I'm not gonna. Seems like docked is fine for the improvements, but mostly in handheld, it seems like people have an issue with that. But yeah. So there's that. That's their one of their big news bits of the week.
Honestly, as far as these up as one of those upgrades concerns, that's probably one of the cheaper ones. Because a lot of those upgrades have been like an extra $10, $20.
This one, much like the Animal Crossing one, kind of mostly focuses on that kind of stuff. Though Animal Crossing also added a few other things. I think it was the increased multiplayer, voice chat support, for like the game chat stuff and the camera, like stuff like that. But I ended up picking it up anyway because the visual improvement was nice to see. But yeah, there's that. Let's see. Yeah, we have some indie stuff coming out soon. This one here, PC Building Simulator 2, is coming to PS5 and Xbox on February 26th, later this week. It's been out on PC for a bit. But they finally have the console version coming out, so that'll be cool to see. I really like the original game. It seems to just have more of that going on. So yeah, that looks like it's gonna be a pretty fun one. So there's that. For indie games to look forward to. Let's see what else we have here. Yeah, Nintendo also announced another thing that they are releasing Pokemon Fire Red and Leaf Green that are coming to the Switch and Switch 2 on the 27th. So that'll be Friday here. $20 each. They are download-only titles. They won't have a physical release of them, which is a shame. Just release a $40 or $50 physical edition with both on there. Deal with it from there. But yeah, kind of going around what they have been doing with GBA games, which is putting it on the NSO app. And it doesn't seem like they're really doing anything new to any of these. It'll maybe look a little bit better, but nothing that's justify like there's any real upgrade to this. I forget where. I have to look this up. They put out an FAQ in their support section that is pretty funny because it has like a bunch of questions that are like the typical thing that people would complain about. Let's see if I can find that here. They basically put out an FAQ here that has a bunch of questions for people. Some of them are like very weird defensive ones. Where it's like, let's see here. Will these games also be coming to the GBA Nintendo Classics Collection? These games are being offered as standalone software and are not planned for release as part of the Game Boy Advance Nintendo Classics Collection. Why are you handling these classic games differently? Celebration of 30 years of Pokemon, we thought it'd be fun to return to the ultimate versions of the original Pokemon adventures in the Kanto region with these special releases. The question here, if these titles are meant to celebrate 30 years of Pokemon, why aren't you releasing the original Pokemon Blue version and Red version games that launched 30 years ago? Answer, we thought users will appreciate the ultimate versions of these original adventures, which add various features and upgrades to the contents of Pokemon Red and Blue. Will you add the original Pokemon Red and Blue version or other Pokemon games to Nintendo Classics collections available with Nintendo Switch Online? They just list all the ones that are currently available, which is Pokemon Trading Card Game, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, and the N64 Pokemon games, Puzzle League, Snap, Stadium, and Stadium 2. And what about other classic games beyond Pokemon titles? This is the return of standalone virtual console type of offerings. We remain focused on offering classic games through Nintendo Switch Online and Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack. Like, just a bunch of these questions. Like, we know what you fuckers are gonna whine about, so we're gonna head you off for this FAQ kind of thing. So that's caused a lot of consternation. We were like, just put these on here, but if you remember on the 3DS virtual console, they offered, I think it was Red, Blue, and Yellow on the virtual console, but they disabled the save scumming or the save state thing you could do. Especially, I imagine they would not like the rewind as well being on here to try to mess with the RNG of things. So, yeah, they've never liked those things, even though the effect they have on really anything is minimal. It's just being able to save whenever you want. Although Pokemon kind of already has that to a degree, but it also, I think it's, you know, this will allow you to save in fights and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, this has been the big thing that's gotten Pokemon fans mad, especially comparing to virtual console, because GBA stuff on the Wii U was only $10 versus $20. And it's like, yeah, but also these are cheaper than they were originally.
Yep.
Like on the GBA, that would be $35 for this.
35, stuff. 40, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I see why it's annoying from the virtual console aspect, though. To be honest, nobody really bought anything on the Wii U virtual console.
Nope.
Otherwise, it would still be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Same for 3DS. But $20 seems decent. Maybe not if you're the sort of person that buys both versions. I still say these are better priced than the recent Galaxy releases.
Where
those were $40 each.
Yeah.
Especially one that was already in a bundle with or a collection with Sunshine and Super Mario 64 for $60. The $20 is a lot more reasonable here. But yeah, that's kind of the big Nintendo controversy is on these.
Yeah.
But yeah, those would be fun to see. And along with that, the Pokemon Presents is going to be happening on February 27th. Because that is Pokemon Day. So that's why they're releasing those games. And they announced it early because I'm guessing that'll be the most exciting thing there, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see. They
have bigger things and they're like, oh, we'll get this out of the way so that there's more stuff to show off. I don't know. That'll be at 6 a.m. Pacific time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. So, be an early show again.
Yeah.
You learn the latest updates on Pokemon Sleep and Pokemon Go and all that. So yeah, there's your Pokemon update.
Yep.
But let's get to the rest of these dates for some indie stuff and whatnot. Slay the Spire 2 is going into Steam Early Access on March 5th. We've been waiting for that sequel for a long time. And now they're going to finally be able to check it out here. Fifth. I like that original game a lot. Not as much as some people do. I played like a few runs, beat it once or twice, and then was like, all right, I'm good with this. But yeah, that game was very fun, but they seem to have more playing for this sequel. Especially going to have some co-op stuff in here. That should be fun.
Yeah, that should be perfect.
Yeah. Have you played the original?
I played it a little bit. It was, it kind I it wasn't quite right the right time to play it, but I've watched other people play it, and yeah, it's like it's if you like roguelike deck builders, it's damn near the perfect game.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that. We got another roguelike here, Ratcoin Coin Pusher Roguelike, which is coming to Steam on March 31st. This is, if you've seen those like coin pusher things, they've turned that into a roguelike. So I figured that out. So I played the demo when it came out last year. I had to double check if I made a video of it or not, but I did not. I'll probably do another video of that because I believe they've updated the demo since then, but it is pretty fun. It's very ridiculous, as you would expect.
Oh, yeah.
For this kind of thing. They have a bunch of extra mechanics to it and all that. So it's just kind of one of those, what they call here, a nonstop dopamine rush. That's a fun one of those that'll be interesting to see. It's March 31st. April 7th will be People of Notes. This is a musical turn-based RPG. That'll be out on PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, and PC for $24.99 from Annapurna Interactive and developer Iridium Studios. They have a pretty packed cast list here. I don't know if they mention it here in this note, but I've seen the list before, and it's got a lot of people on it that seems like it should make for a fun time. Let me see if I can find the... Here it is. They announced that 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Some of these have voice actor and vocal performance. Let me see. Like one of the characters is voiced by Erika Ishii. But the song vocals is by a different person. Here. They have a character voiced by Alex Boniello, who's a Broadway actor who's done some things with a Giant Bomb for a weird thing there. I don't know that I know all of these people here. Is this the person I'm thinking of? Yeah, Deborah Wilson's on this cast. So that's really fun. I didn't know she could sing, but that's cool. So yeah, I think that's... some good people on this list. That's looking neat. On April 16th, Gecko Gods will be out. This is sort of a puzzle platformer. You're playing as a gecko that can, you know, climb up walls and get into places that you might not expect, and working on, you know, solving a bunch of puzzles and all that as you go around. And these ruins and temples and such that you're you're exploring. And it seems like a really fun little game. That'll be on PS5, Switch, and PC. Then we got Wax Heads on May 5th. This one is coming from Curve Games and Patati Games. This is a record store clerk, like narrative simulation game kind of thing. That they call Cozy Punk Narrative Sim.
Yeah.
Working in a struggling record store. PS5, Xbox, Switch, and PC on May 5th. They have a demo that's out now. Yeah, you're working at the store, talking to people, making recommendations, and that kind of stuff. Yeah, looks really neat. So, yeah. That is pretty cool to see. I think that is it for the dates here. Anything here you're looking forward to?
I'll say People of Note looks pretty neat. I'll definitely give Slay of the Spire 2 a try when it gets early access. Yeah, some of the other stuff I'm going to need to see more of it.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty excited here for Ratcoin, Gecko Gods, and maybe Wax Heads. I'll have to check out that demo. That'll be on the list of demos I check out this week. Let's get to the rest of this news here, because there's a bunch of industry news. First up
Obviously.
here, Valve has decided to warn people that the Steam Deck OLED is going to be going in and out of stock for the foreseeable future because of issues with the RAM and storage stuff that's going on now.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder who's responsible for that.
Yeah. They also say the LCD models are no longer going to be in production, so once those are out of stock, that's it. So hopefully you got a Steam Deck if you've been wanting one. Because like everything else, they're going to be more expensive or harder to make for the current value. So yeah, that's also following them announcing earlier this month that Steam Machine pricing and shipping details have been delayed as they're trying to figure out that whole situation. So if you thought those are going to be priced closer to the current consoles, that may not be happening. So yeah, not a great time for Valve to be getting into more hardware stuff. So that's a fun time for them.
Yes, it is.
Let's see here. We got this very weird story. Finji talked to IGN about this issue they've been having for a bit, where apparently TikTok has been creating and running racist generative AI ads for its games without their permission. Yeah, their CEO and co-founder Rebecca Saltzman was talking about this on Blue Sky. Yeah, I think this is them kind of highlighting this LinkedIn post. It's basically like heads up if you spot weird AI stuff for the brands you follow on Instagram and Facebook, and pointing out this post from another company called Snag, makes like I think tights and such, and that they have some algorithm changes and such to fuck with things. But she's talking about how they've had a real fun thing with TikTok, where based on this story, it seems like their official account on TikTok pushes ads for its games, but has all the AI options turned off for this stuff because they don't want, anything they haven't made specifically for themselves to be pushed for any of that. They found out that these were being made without their knowledge, thanks to social media comments on their Finji account. People, sharing what they're seeing and getting screenshots of that stuff so they could see like what the hell people are seeing. And so they contacted TikTok support to figure out like what the hell's going on. Yeah, the original ads seem like they are videos advertising Finji's games, which is like Usual June, Night in the Woods, a bunch of other games like that. Tunic, I think, is one of theirs as well. And yeah, these ones are focused on Usual June. Yeah, enhanced versions, which appear on TikTok as if posted directly from the official Finji account, seem to consist of slideshows rather than video. Several of the AI enhanced images seem to be relatively unedited compared to their original counterparts. One image is noticeably modified. It depicts an edited version of the official cover art, original version of which is pictured above. The main character June is depicted alone, but the image extends down to her ankles. She's depicted with a bikini bottom, possibly large hips and thighs, and boots that rise up over her knees, seemingly evoking a harmful stereotype. Which, yeah, you've seen footage of that actual game. She's wearing like shorts and like regular shoes and all that. That's not great. And they talked to TikTok customer support, where they can confirm that they had the smart creative option turned off, which is for preventing them to using generative AI to make versions of your ads, different versions of your ads. So you might be able to create mixed versions of multiple ads you're creating, I guess, to whatever I guess does best. There's also another one, version called Automate Creative, which can also improve, quote unquote, the things you're using for ads, music, audio, images, and video and such. They both are turned off, but still we're getting affected by all this. They say they're unable to view or edit the AI-generated versions of its own ads and is only aware of them via, people commenting on how weird these things are. Yeah, that there's is pretty sure there's another inappropriate generative AI ad circulating based on usual June, but is unable to see the modifications herself. I'm guessing somebody wasn't able to get a picture of it or whatever. Because since yeah, they've ended the ad campaigns that potentially were affected by this stuff, so maybe that'd be one way to fix it. But TikTok support has been unable to solve any of their issues with this. Yeah, that the some of the stuff seems like it's using these AI features even though they have them turned off, and so that's kind of a leading to a support circle of hell for them. Yeah, there's others using Night in the Woods, which is unsurprising. But yeah, this is a very weird story and very weird problem. It's I'm not surprised by because TikTok is just a mess of a social media service. A lot of what it has going on, and throwing Gen AI into it seems to have compounded the issue. So made for a great time for everybody. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah. That's the that's it just sucks, man.
Yeah.
It sucks that this is the world we live in.
But there's no way to fix it.
There's li quite literally, there is no way to fix it. Not anything that's known to man anyway.
Yeah. Let's see. We got this other story here. The company that owns The Escapist, Video Gamer, and Esports Insider, ClickOut Media, seems like they're essentially laying off most of, if not all of, the staff that worked at those sites and are basically getting rid of all their old content to turn it into advertorial sites for gambling and casinos. Which is not surprising. There's a number of companies that is the quickest way for them to make a buck, is just essentially make use of the extensive, link history of these sites out there to be like a means of making gambling money off of them. That's not an uncommon thing for a lot of old sites like this. So this is unsurprising that ClickOut Media seems to be another one of these companies that is buying up multiple media outlets and then just crashing them as soon as it works. The money works out in their favor for doing this.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if we end up hearing something from some Escapist alumni in the next week or so about this shit.
Yeah.
From James Stephanie Sterling or Yahtzee Croshaw or any of those guys.
I want to say Yahtzee's been doing his own thing for a while.
Well, yeah, he has, because they went off to do Second Wind a while back. But both of those individuals were very interconnected with the Escapist for a long time. So,
Yeah.
they're probably going to have something to say about it.
Yeah. And the Escapist also has an unfortunate part of its history where they got into Gamergate and not on the good side. That kind of ruined their reputation for a long time, and somebody a handful of years back was like, I'm gonna fix all of that, and did not do it. Did not figure it out.
Nope.
So yeah, that's the fun whole part of this. So there you go. More bad news about things. And we'll just keep going with the bad news. Jake Solomon, very popular former Fire Axis veteran, who was sort of one of the heads of the civilization part of the, or no, XCOM it was. He did a lot of the XCOM stuff for them in recent years. He left to go form his own studio called Midsummer Studios. That was working on their own game that they called Burbank, like a life sim game. I think more on the Sims kind of angle. May have also been using generative AI, but it seems like the they never really got far enough to finish the game, and I assume ran out of money, and had to shut down and lay everybody off. Saying here, we built a studio, we made a game, and I'm really proud of both. Before we close the doors at Midsummer Studios, I'd like to share a glimpse of Burbank, the game we poured our hearts into. It's like Life Sims plus The Truman Show, but it's more than that. I believe people are storytellers, and I want them to share whatever stories, characters they can dream up. Burbank lets you do that. So they put out like a little video of how much they did get made. Seems okay. Well, yeah. It's easy to see why this thing may not have gotten over the hump to actually getting made. So yeah, that was a thing they, raised a decent amount of money for, but I assume at a certain point, investors just stopped showing up to fund it. So yeah, that's unfortunate when you're running your own studio. So there's that for some bad news. Next up, more bad news. Ubisoft Toronto has laid off about 40 people. They do mention that the remake of Splinter Cell is not affected by this. But yeah, they're also co-developing Rainbow Six stuff. So that's also some more stuff that they're working on, but imagine they had some projects that kind of finished up and had more people than they needed for whatever they've been working on, and so they decided to lay them off. It seems like they got some severance packages and career placement assistance, but yeah, sad to see still. Ubisoft continues to cut people out to try to get some more money somehow. There you go.
Just, I mean, this is not the first story about Ubisoft laying people, and it will probably not be the last. 'Cause that company is desperately trying to rewrite a sinking ship, and they need it's gonna be ugly by the time it's over. I'm hoping that maybe afterwards Ubisoft will be come out of it a better company with better products, but they got so bloated over the last 15 years that it's gonna take some serious like rethinking from top to bottom to make that company work again.
That seems to be what they're trying to do. We don't know if that's gonna pan out into an actual healthy company or not.
We don't know, but we'll have to see.
And then we got this story here. Sony is shutting down Bluepoint Games, a developer that worked on the Dead Souls remake, or a Demon Souls remake at the start of the generation. And it has not been able to put anything else out. We know they were working on some God of War live service thing. One of their pitches to Sony seemed to be working on that for a while, and that just did not pan out. And anything else they have pitched to Sony since then has not panned out as well. From what it looks like, they kind of wanted to work on their own things, or their own non-remake or remaster type of projects, mm-hmm. and that's sort of what Sony picked them up for. Mm-hmm. And they never really panned out for that, because they bought them after they released the Demon's Souls remake.
Yeah.
That seemed to show they had good chops for, you know, whatever new IP or spin-off thing they could make off of, you know, a God of War or something like that. That could be mm-hmm. a pretty cool thing, and it just never worked out.
Yeah.
Which is just a shame.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem like they wanted to go back to doing any sort of remasters, which as part of this whole, the way this thing has been talked about in the
yeah
on the internet, is people like, well, they should have been doing the Bloodborne remake. Because, you know, that's easy money. And it's like, yeah, it is, if they want to work on that.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like they wanted to.
Yeah. It sucks. It really sucks, too, because these guys were basically they were the masters of going back and rebuilding a game from top to bottom. Anybody who has played, you know, their remakes of Demon's Souls or Shadow of the Colossus knows these guys were the absolute pinnacle of that. Like there was no other developer that could touch them with what they did. And the best part is they always added just a little bit extra in there, you know, just as a treat, just as like, you know, we decided to go back. We gave you, you know, the interpretation of the original experience, but we also threw in, you know, some extra stuff that you can go off the beaten path to get if you want. And that's the kind of thing. And you played these games, these remakes, and you knew that these were people who were actually passionate about the games that they made remakes for.
Yeah.
And it's like, honestly, Sony very easily could keep this studio going and just eat the cost if they wanted to. Because, you know, the games they've put out have sold pretty well. And then they made the dumbass decision to say, hey, we're going to have you guys do a live service game in the God of War universe that nobody freaking wanted.
Yeah.
And, you know, now they got to pay for it. It sucks.
Yeah. let's see. They do mention there are...
With Sony, I swear, with Sony, it's like one step forward, two steps back, man.
Yeah. It seems like they are offering some assistance for maybe relocating some of these people to other studios mm-hmm. in Sony, but I imagine the majority of them are going to be
mm-hmm.
losing their jobs,
mm-hmm.
Which they mentioned is going to be about 70 people.
Mm-hmm.
So a pretty small studio, all things said.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that'll be unfortunate. Hopefully they can find mm-hmm. the work.
Mm.
But yeah, there you go. Bad news there.
Yeah.
And then Xbox said, we want in on this bad news business because we gotta be the top of everything.
Yeah.
They said, we're blowing this shit up.
Phil Spencer is retiring. We are pouring out the gas can, lighting the match, and running out the door.
Yeah. So they had a big shakeup at the top of their Microsoft Gaming part of the business. Phil Spencer, the CEO, is retiring. The Xbox president, Sarah Bond, is leaving. She's resigned from the company. And the person that will be taking over as the new CEO of Microsoft Gaming is Asha Sharma, who has been the president of Microsoft's core AI product for the last couple years. Mm-hmm. And I think previously was at like Instacart and mm-hmm. Meta. I think, Vice President of Product at Meta and Chief Operating Officer of Instacart before that.
Mm-hmm.
She has been working on, you know, the Copilot and all that
stuff
there in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah.
She is essentially going to be taking over. Seems like they're not going to have somebody take Sarah Bond's spot. But in the process, Matt Booty, who's been head of the Xbox Game Studios, has essentially been promoted to Chief Content Officer and will be managing all the first party studios and all that, along with everything else Microsoft Gaming is doing. So
yeah,
it'll be those two at the head of this thing.
Yeah. Now, in Asha's defense, I just wanted just to be fair to her. She has been taking, ever since this announcement came out, she's been doing a lot of stuff online, trying to talk to people to sort of find out what it is they're thinking, what they're wanting to hear, what they would want from her and from Microsoft going forward. She seems to actually be engaging with those people, and seems to actually be listening and, you know, acknowledging it. She said that, you know, she doesn't want like any AI slop, to be, you know, anything like that under her tenure. But I mean, you know, good for her for all that, but actions speak louder than words. So
yeah, as much as we got this new hardware that's coming in that is likely to be infested with Copilot and all that shit, this seems to be confirming that assumption.
I mean, that is kind of the pattern with Microsoft, isn't it? Like, every other version of any software they put or hardware they put out is always like, you know, the worst version of the last one. And then they fix it with the next one, and then the next one comes out and they somehow latch on something awful. And then, yeah, it's same shit.
And I'll add that her posting on Twitter was basically like the first thing she's done with her Twitter account.
Yeah.
And she's been engaging with, let's say, less than savory people.
Yeah, that's the other problem.
One guy that's being sued by a former Kotaku writer for harassment, continued harassment, who, in the message she responded to, essentially was, like, downplaying her as a DEI hire kind of thing that she responded to, like, she didn't see all of that.
Mm-hmm.
He was asking, like, oh, what are your three favorite games of all time?
Mm-hmm.
And so he responded with three games and then the screed of other things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I wouldn't blame her for not reading that shit, but also, if you read that shit, you would know not to engage with him.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also been responding to people essentially saying that herself, calling her a DEI hire and all that. I don't really take that stuff as like a sign of anything good. Especially when there's a segment of shitty people that are like, was she using AI to respond to all these people?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are like, oh, she's a woman. She shouldn't be running any company.
Mm-hmm.
Much less the woman who's Indian American.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The audience there, not great to be dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a new thing for Xbox execs. Aaron Greenberg loved to engage with shitty people out of Brazil, where they have a particularly toxic community there. Yeah, also, they shouldn't be on Twitter for all the myriad of reasons that any public facing executive should not be engaging with people on there. But along with all that, then she posted her gamer tag, which she rightfully started a month or so ago.
Yeah.
Playing with it, knowing that this was going to be happening, and been playing stuff and like playing a bunch of things, like has like 400 points in like Halo Infinite and a number of other things. And everyone taking it like, oh, she just started gaming. And it's like, I don't know that that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also say it doesn't mean anything.
No.
You're like, oh, she's not a gamer. And it's like, I don't know if she is.
Yeah.
If that was her and doing this, I would absolutely have started a new gamer tag and not let people know about any other ones I had anywhere else. Again, it's also kind of a form of her name, so I would say don't do that with your gamer tags. But yeah, this rightfully has a lot of people being like, well, it was good while it lasted on Xbox.
Yeah.
And her message is like, you know, I believe in consoles and all this, and it's like, also we're investing in Play Anywhere, which is like, that means you're not invested in consoles, and all that. So, This is kind of like, yeah, I'm not surprised by any of this. Phil has been in the process of retiring at some point this year. That's not really a surprise. It's the notion that Sarah Bond is not the one that's taking up the mantle there. That's either because Satya Nadella was planning all along to not have her as the new CEO of Microsoft Gaming, and Sarah was like, "Well, fuck this. I'm not taking, a lateral promotion to some other role that's going to be basically the same thing." So she has put out a message on, I think, LinkedIn or something. There's all platitudes. Like, none of these really have any actual message in them. There's all the same kind of stuff you say, like, oh, things are so bright. Got a lot of potential and all this. And it's like, yeah, sure. One of your 25th anniversary of Xbox. You sure shown how much you care about those 25 years of Xbox. So yeah, that's gonna be fun to see what their first big decisions starting this new leadership is gonna look like. But I don't think either of these two are the ones to lead them to a better place than they have been. This generation was the one where they were supposed to get it right, and they really didn't. They've just fallen more so and then bought up Bethesda and Activision Blizzard and essentially all in on just not really focusing on their own platform as they release what's supposed to be like a PC console hybrid where you could reasonably buy the console and never give Microsoft another dime and just use it for Steam and other platforms. Where you're wondering, like, then how is Microsoft supposed to make money off this thing? Other than engagement. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know if you have anything to add on that.
We've made our opinion on AI pretty clear by now, and the fact that for some reason all the major tech companies are just all in for this shit that is just eventually the bubble's gonna burst. It's gonna be like the dot-com crash, and none of them are apparently able to, look far enough ahead to realize that it's gonna screw them over in the end.
Yeah. Microsoft has a lot of money invested in AI.
Yeah.
So it has to work or else they're screwed.
Yes.
Doesn't mean they're going to go out of business, but they're not
No.
going to be having as much money as they had.
Yeah.
Then it all just becomes monopoly money. So yeah. That's your bad news half of the show.
Yep.
Is everything before that mostly good? The weird Nintendo stuff that people are grumbling about, which is typically the state that people have with Nintendo
Yeah.
when it doesn't involve Zelda or Mario. But yeah, I think that's gonna do it for the show this week. Thank you, Brandon, for joining.
Always.
We'll be back next week in a new month. That'll be March next week.
Yeah.
As the weather doesn't seem to get that much better, for
Nope.
us at least.
Yeah.
Luckily, we're not in New York City where they were saying, as of like this morning, like potentially getting 20 to 28 inches of snow, which is like, boy, that was not even 10 a few days ago.
Yeah.
But here we're like an inch or so at most, which is reasonable. But yeah, I guess it's gonna do it. And what stuff's supposed to be out this week? Let me see. Yeah, Tides of Tomorrow, that got delayed. No Sleep for Kaname Date from AI, The Somnium Files, Boogie Extreme Racer, Resident Evil Requiem, Tales of Berseria Remastered. Yeah, as I mentioned, Pokemon Fire Red and Leaf Green are out on the Switch and Switch 2 and Building Simulator 2 are also out this week. So, yeah, some decent stuff to check out. Let's see. Oh, yeah, the Disney Afternoon Collection is also out this week. on the Switch and Switch 2. So yeah, that's gonna do it for the show this week. Thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good week ahead. We will see you all next time. Have a good one.
Bye.